What is happening, everybody? Welcome to the PGA DFS Strategy Show. Maybe I was a little off there by a second because I was just getting my notes in order here. I'm going to give you the entire leaderboard, so we don't have to worry about that too much. But I am joined by my buddy Eric as they're sending Ben off to do some college football work. And we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. Going to tell you about the work that Ben's putting in behind the scenes. But I also want to thank Monkey Knife Fight, the sponsor of our show here this week, each and every week. If you're not familiar with them, check them out. Their player props-based contests are easy to learn, and you don't have to worry about ownership or anything like that. I'll give you an example. This week, Eric, you and I are going to pick. The line is set at 18 and a half birdies. You get to pick more or less, and I'm going to give you two names, Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth. You get both of them right, it's 2.5x. So I'm going to throw it to you right away. I know it's a tough one. But check it out over on monkeyknifefight.com. Let's try and win some money for our listeners. What do you think, Eric? Let's give them the goods.
Well, this is Jordan Spieth's playground. This is the one golf tournament I feel like every year that I can click Jordan Spieth and I'm okay with it. Both of them, I mean, are we going to get JT rolling the rock here again? That would be fun. Look good, looked bad.
Five
look
straight good, top tens bad. Here.
Yeah, five I straight know. Top tens. I know, but also 18 and a half on this golf course. I think that that's a pretty good number, but I'll take more for both of them.
I think with the way the PGA Tour has been playing, just the guys have been playing better. Everything's, you know, they're getting used to the courses. Obviously, this one's been around for a while. Yeah. I think 18 and a half is a great line. I think you can go over on both of them. So thanks for monkeyknifefight.com. And we have talked a little bit about the course. Let's go into a little bit more detail about East Lake, a par 70, 7,400 yards. A lot of missed greens here, though, Eric, and I'm assuming that's why you say Jordan Spieth can be an auto click here this week.
Yeah, he kind of is. It's disturbing. If you were to come up with a golf course, because Jordan Spieth has always been a little sneaky long. That's one thing that I've kind of always believed. He's not like a short knocker. You know, normally people associate making putts and being good around the greens as you're hitting it 280 and 285 doing whatever. He's not that guy. He still hits it out there a pretty decent amount. So 7,400 on a par 70, that's a little bit longer, but seems like he always plays pretty well around here. Seems like he always kind of finds a way to get the putter rolling out here as well. A lot of missed greens, a lot of opportunities on some of these longer par fours where you're going to have to get creative around the greens. And he's just really, really good at it. So there's no denying that this is a golf course that I've always felt a little bit more comfortable clicking his name.
You think it also helps that there's only two par fives that make up 30% of the total scoring?
Yeah, big time. And this is kind of where East Lake is one of the most pure tracks. Like it's so pure. Par 70, it is as classic as it gets from a pure golf perspective. If you're going to shoot 5-6 under out here, it's a little different than shooting 5 or 6 under last week where, you know, there's certain rounds you're getting lapped or, you know, yeah, it's still a decent round, but you got to really, really be in control of the golf ball on this place. Leave it in the right spots on some of these longer holes. And yeah, with only two par fives, there isn't the automatic birdie fest. I mean, let's talk Bryson here in a second, but that's going to be an interesting thing because distance is never a disadvantage for sure. The dude's gaining, I believe he gained the third most or the most strokes gained tee to green or off the tee, excuse me, since Dustin Johnson in 2018 in a golf tournament. It's stupid. So it's still going to be an advantage, but he's not going to get the auto birdies that he got last week.
That's for sure. And now before we move on to talk about the players, there's a weird little setup for this tournament and we're going to break it all down for you and explain what it means. And of course, wanted before I do that, let you guys know about some cool stuff that we have going on, especially with this show, the PGA Strategy Show. What you're going to do is you're going to use that promo code PGA Strategy Show and all deals 25% off your first week of Osmo Plus Platinum. So we've got NFL right around the corner. Eric, later, I'm going to have you tell us or tell everybody about the Wingman and so much more. So great time to join Osmo Plus Platinum. And of course, if you're looking for the draft kit that we've talked so much about, use promo code WR for just $5 off. All right, let's talk about the Tour Championship. It's 30 players, but it is a handicap tournament. So for all you guys that are not golfers that are in the audience today, that just means that everybody starts at a different score. So I'm going to see if we can pull up a graphic here on the starting score. But first, Patrick Cantlay, he's going to start off at 10 under par, and it's a sliding scale from there all the way down to even. And we've got a couple at even like Sergio Garcia, who I also saw chat bring up, Erik van Rooyen, and a couple of other names. But first, Eric, let's talk about the handicap. Do you even like it? And if you don't like it, what would you do in its place?
I like it more, I think, than consensus. Like, even watching some Golf Channel last night, some of the guys were like, this silly format, this whatever format. And I'm like, what else do you want to do? You want to reward people, but you also want to have the, you want to have the stakes of it being the Tour Championship. And I don't know. I can't think of a lot of things that I would want to do in an alternative universe for it, because it seems weird to me. You go out and win the Tour Championship. Of course you give it, you give the FedEx Cup to somebody else, but you want everybody to kind of have a shot. And you don't want EVR, who's come on the last 3 weeks, to get rewarded for an entire season of play. And so him starting at the bottom, that just makes sense. If he wants to go out and light this place on fire and go and win a FedEx Cup that way, sure, sounds great. But otherwise, what else are we? I can't think of something that seems more appropriate than this. And so I probably like it more than most.
I totally agree. I have held this standard for a couple of years that we've been doing it. Maybe the only thing you and I agree on here today, but that's okay. We need a little bit of
continuity. Speed. I'm going to have not zero amount of him. Well, so
that's a step in the right direction, at least.
Well, you know, I don't know if I'm a changed man, but I'm at least a man. There you go.
A man getting there this week. I think the most important thing to me is a couple of years ago, Tiger Woods obviously has that breakthrough comeback win. And there's Justin Rose standing next to him. It's like, no, we don't want that. There's too much ambiguity there for me. Let's just get one winner. This is the only way to do it while still looking at the regular season and a couple of other events before this one and giving it some merit. So I like it. Patrick Cantlay will start off at 10 under and a sliding scale from there. So now we're going to go ahead and start breaking down the leaderboard. And what I'm going to do, these are my picks. I'm going to tell Eric them, and he's going to debate them. Tell me who maybe might be another candidate for this range or a couple of other things. So let's start off at the bottom of the leaderboard. Billy Horschel has come here a couple of times and finished last, including last year, similar form. There's just nothing going on for him, Eric. Do you have any qualms about him being in the bottom five at this point?
No, I've never clicked on his name ever. It's strange to me that he's never played well here because, you know, he's a Florida Gator. You'd think he would be at least familiar with the grass type, with a little bit of the environment. It's kind of a similar situation to some of the golf courses you play down in Florida, especially some of the northern Florida golf courses there. Obviously, this being in Atlanta, but I have nothing that I can say positive about anything that Billy Horschel's doing. He literally just lost 4.5 shots tee to green last week, 4 on the approach, 1.7 putting. The only thing he was decent at was around the green. That's the only thing he tends to be decent at here and there. And even that's been abysmal very, very recently and on tougher golf courses. The Open, I think he was pretty flat, but only finished 53rd, and we don't have any of that data. But the U.S. Open lost 1.9 strokes around the green. Memorial, 5.6 strokes around the green. Yeah. So there's a number of ways that he can penalize you and not very many that he can possibly get there for you.
Totally agree with that sentiment. Stuart Sink also just been in a bad spot of form. Same with Joaquin Niemann. Now, Daniel Berger may be the odd one out here, but he's got terrible history in his 4 tries. You think that again goes to he's just not very good around the green?
I think Daniel Berger, I mean, he seems like a guy that doesn't like play every single week in, week out. And you get to the end of this FedEx Cup playoff. This is a lot of golf. You come off of the majors, you go to Europe, you come back, you basically have 1 week there and you're ramping up into the playoffs. It's a lot of golf in a short amount of time. Even Rory himself has talked about how exhausted he is. And Rory's like the most in shape. Like, I can have people take my private jets and do whatever I want to do and live my life guy that it's available. And if he's tired talking about it, a guy like Daniel Berger, who's had wrist injuries, who's had issues, a little bit of a head case himself at times, very, very solid player and a guy I cheer for, but I don't really, not really seeing him being somebody that I'm going to get to a lot. Stuart Sink, I want to cheer for. I want to. I was on him a lot earlier this season. There were some moments and flashes of it. Obviously, the RBC Heritage ain't this golf course. So yeah, another pass for me, sure.
I'm getting made fun of for my water bottle today. That's just that's where we are.
I got a new one too, by the way. Yeah, so yeah, Jordan Klein can no longer make fun of me for ruining the environment.
Right. I used to go with the Tervis cups and I drank out of a straw, Eric. So that I got absolutely just lambasted for. So I switched to this Yeti thing, and now the Yeti thing is even
better. Yeah, these lovely Yetis. I was told lifetime warranty. Let's go.
Yeah, dude, I own some stock in it. Why the heck not?
Oh my God. The top, though, can you do something about the top? Because it is so vice grip on here, and it's like a pain in the ass, and I feel like I'm going to spill it all over all of my stuff.
Wait, you don't have, like, the topper?
It's just, like, open. It's an open thing.
What? You need to get the new one, then, that has the, like, guard that has got the mouthpiece on it.
Awesome. I'll go buy another $90 Yeti. Here we go. Perfect. Good thing. Good thing Patrick Cantley won last week. I can afford one. You can buy attachments?
Oh, yeah.
Producer Jordan knows everything. Again, we have 47 people in here right now. As more people get in, I will probably not be talking about water bottles so much. But right now, don't feel so bad about it. Let's ride.
Yeah, let's ride. So let's talk about Sergio Garcia. He does find the water from time to time in golf tournaments.
Yes, he does.
But I do think he's the best value out of these bottom five that I have projected here. He's starting at even par. I mean, it's going to be tough for him to make up a ton of strokes. If you look at last year's leaderboard, we had 110 as the top point guys in a Schauffele, down to Billy Horschel, who scored about 50 and a half. So I've got Sergio coming in off of a good week last week and putting up close to 70 DraftKings points. Does that mean he should make our roster, even though he's going to be in, say, the bottom third of this field?
So I could have had an awesome DFS week if I had just clicked Sergio Garcia's name, like Ben told me to. I'm stubborn, and at least I had the Patrick Cantlay ticket, and that took care of my week for me, but son of a biscuit. Like, I don't understand why. Again, he was under 5%, so it makes sense. If we're going to look at one round, he was still losing shots around the green. He lost 1.3 shots around the green last week. Everybody kept talking about how unbelievable his hands are. He had that 30-yard pitch shot he had on 17 or on 16. On 18, he got up and down, almost hold the bunker shot. He does have those kind of shots, but he's still just not the best chipper. I mean, he does flashy things. He can do certain things other players can't do, but the routine basic getting it up and down, part of it is the putting and just being able to convert there too. But this was the first time that we've seen him be remotely competent with a putter. He gained 5.2 strokes putting. I have a feeling that we're going to have a lot of conversation. Go ahead. What?
No, was he closing his eyes? I know he wasn't, but we always just have to ask.
It's so true. And I mean, he talked about closing his eyes. He did that at the Masters. So yeah, there's that 5,400. I don't like to look at ownership until Wednesday. It's not my favorite thing to do. I try to keep an open mind and look at it. But what I'm seeing from Sergio is an outlier putting week. He's going to continue to do the same thing where he's decent. I mean, the Northern Trust, he was abysmal everywhere. Last week, not nearly as many issues. I just don't want to go to him. And I know he's going to be insanely popular coming off of last week. Him and Eric Van Rooyen, I'm going to have a tough time figuring out what to do with, just because I assume that if you're going to go up to the top guys who, you know, the Cantleys, the Brysons, the Tony Finaus up there, the 10-8-7 under guys, you're going to be playing those two guys a lot. And I'm going to try to find ways to get away from them and maybe be a little bit more balanced than you'd think this week.
Yeah, let's go ahead. I think it's a good transition to talk about Eric Van Rooyen, who I've got coming in around 24th, so maybe outside of this. At the flat min, he's going to be super popular. At what ownership do you think you would play him, and what ownership would you fade him at?
So we got to remember, this could be 29 players with no Patrick Reed. So
yeah, I forgot to even mention that. I apologize.
No, you're just fine. So it's 29 players, and you remove one player out of this field, you have six in a lineup. You're already rostering over 20% of the field every time that you make a lineup. So you have to keep some kind of an understanding that you're going to see some very high ownership on some players. This is a smaller field, no cut event as well. So many things make sense. EVR is playing very, very, very good golf. And I think he's going to be a hard guy to say, I want to outright fade by any means. I think 30% might be the number where you start having a conversation one way or another. And again, I'm just mentally thinking this out based on last year's, looking at some of the ownerships there. You have guys who are going to be 40% owned in this golf tournament. And I think him at the min, considering he's playing better than five or six of the guys who are just barely above him, who have been playing and having better form for the entire season, I bet he comes in around 30, and I'm going to probably have 20, 15 of that. I'll cut it in half.
Yeah, I would even reason to say that in, say, something like a single entry, he could go upwards of 40% owned. That's where maybe I'd be more tuned to fade him and just give him basically the field in GPPs. Really, though, when I roster him, making sure that I'm leaving 1,500 salary, because if you're using up all of your salary with Van Rooyen, I guarantee you the lineup will be duplicated with only, like you said, 29 golfers. 100%. We have no idea about Patrick Reed. He hasn't said he's not playing. He hasn't officially withdrawn, but he's not in the printed field for DraftKings as of right now. And obviously we know he's been sick. So let's talk about a couple of other guys that I have projected in this range, 21 to 25. I started with Van Rooyen, Kevin Na, Cameron Smith, Scottie Scheffler, and Corey Connors. I'll pitch you Cameron Smith first because he's the highest priced guy I got here. His off-the-tee game is not that great, and I think he'll get eaten alive here, although he is very good around the green. Results haven't been great, and I think that's because he's so weak off the tee at times.
And that's going to be the tough one. Par 70, you're not very good off the tee. And this rough, while it isn't very long, it ends up being a disaster for some of these guys. If you start missing off fairways, it's enticing enough to try to hit it and to get out of some of the spots, but it just sits to the bottom. And if you've played golf, I played some golf in Athens, Georgia. There was like an AJGA there when I was like in 15, 16. The ball just sits to the bottom of this grass and you cannot clip the back of the ball very easily. It's that thicker kind of Bermuda that you're looking at. And it's a very different kind of thing. So while driving stats do jump off the page here in a lot of ways. And, you know, it's not a bomber course per se, but it's 7,400 par 70. That is longer. That's kind of your adjusted to 7,500, 7,600 par 71, 7,700 for a par 72 type. I definitely think that you could have some issues with Cameron Smith there. Stronger around the green. Same thing with Kevin Na. That is his MO. That is what we know him to be. I think he'll be okay there. I think you probably have this. We probably agree more right now on everything that we've talked about for a golf tournament than anything else that I've seen you do or that I've done all season long. So
of course,
this is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Or I'm just being nice to you because you're a new father.
Hey, well, you know, it's kind of hard, I guess, to be mean to new fathers. But Scottie Scheffler is, I wanted to talk to you about him. Guy that I think could outscore his finishing position, put up 96 points here last year, was vital to the optimal lineup. Mm-hmm. Maybe playing a little bit better. I haven't projected around 80 points in where his starting position put him in the bottom 20. Am I too low on Scottie Scheffler this week, or is the form just not as good as it could be?
I've been playing him quite a bit, and it has to do with he plays different kinds of golf courses. I mean, he dominated on the Korn Ferry Tour. He obviously knows how to go low, and you can do that. He's also played well in majors. He's played well in tough golf courses. He's just a very good all-around player where – if he's on, if the putter's going, he can take it deep and put himself in an optimal position. I would say out of everybody down here, because again, it's just such an interesting range looking between like Connors, Kokrak, and everybody else. I feel so much better clicking Scheffler, and I'm going to play the recency bias narrative. The one thing we didn't really talk about on the forefront of this is just like a flat out game theory week. And everything from that we saw last week is going to be so inflated. Sung J.M. coming off of last week, Sergio Garcia, all of the guys, even Cantlay and Bryson. It's just going to be very hard for me to see myself getting to them as opposed to every other player. Completely different golf course, completely different situation. I got to think that I'm going to get to quite a bit of Scottie Scheffler. I don't think the ownership's going to be there nearly as much. I'm probably a little bit higher on him than you, but not a crazy amount. I think he could just be one of those guys who takes it deep and puts himself in a position. 6,800 for him, such a quality player on this sliding scale, salary scale.
Yeah, and believe it or not, even though I have him finishing, say, in 17th, somewhere around there, right around 20th, I do have him as one of the top five values on the board based off of the projected points and salary. So, you know, there's that kind of thing to it where there are guys that are going to outscore their finishing position, say that end up with a double or a triple and kind of push them down, but their birdie rate is good or what have you. Now, the thing that I rely on a lot as well is the player projections. Now, when there's 150 players in the field, you need them a little bit more, but this week, of course, we can use our player projections to differentiate and, of course, try to get the optimal lineup while still trying to be unique. And if you want to check out some of our player projections, MLB, they are free today. And Eric, I know you've been doing a little bit of work over there. I've seen you a couple of times in some good contests. Now, how overall is MLB going this year, would you say? I see screenshots nightly, so the projections must be pretty darn good.
Yeah, the projections are fantastic. I would say for me personally, at least my buddy Rinpak is crushing because MLB has been a little bit brutal for me over the long haul. I think I've been running really, really good the last couple of years in MLB. This year, NBA and NHL went about as good as possible. I literally play every sport. So golf and MLB have been a little bit more struggling. NFL, I absolutely smashed last year, hoping I can kind of repeat that. Preseason was about as good as it can possibly get. But MLB has been a little bit better here of late as well. And of course, we just had everybody that was at the FanDuel Live Final, Alex Baker, Steve Buzzard, Rinpak, everybody had a great showing. And everybody, we see N Cordfield, and we see Peter Henley every single night at the top of contest. Those guys are absolutely in fuego. Our projections are as good as they get. For me, it's a little bit of making sure that I can handle enough lineups when I'm doing a live show. I'll be on MLB Live before lock, but there is no better place to go for projections. There is no better place with the top pitchers tool and the top stacks tool to have that information every single day. We've got a week and a half here before NFL starts. You need to be in those streets now because there are some people who are depositing, who are jumping into DK, getting ready for NFL. They're going to dabble in the MLB streets. This is the time to be there.
For sure. And I always thought maybe NBA would have been the best, but the MLB results have been getting pretty good. And
let's go.
So I'm excited about that. Now, we've been doing a lot of work with our golf projections as well. We've got now just about 2.5 years of some strokes gain data that we've been inputting. So Alex and I have been doing a lot of work behind the scenes in that. And of course, we have our unofficial world golf rankings, which is just a little bit of a change in. Actually, Eric, I wanted to bring that up because it looks like the OWGR decided to follow in our footsteps. They're going to revamp their whole system, base it off kind of the stuff that we've been basing it off.
Their system sucks, so that's good.
Pretty awful. So good to see that. Now, all right, let's talk about a couple more guys here as we march down the list. Like I said, Scottie Scheffler, one of the better values, but maybe not up there. Okay, let's go into the 16 to 20 range. Talk about Victor Hovland, Hideki Matsuyama, Louis Oosthuizen, Jason Kokrak, Harris English. Got them all projected around the similar points, 70 to 80, somewhere in that range. Matsuyama, he's had a couple of top 10s here, but if he can't putt, man, it can get really bad in a hurry. So of these five names, who do you like to outperform the player? The position, and who do you like to underperform the position I have them in?
Yeah, so this is why I try not to look at ownership, because I try to look at it with a blank canvas and say they are playing XYZ well. What's their recent form in the last 50 rounds, the last 24 rounds? How have they been putting? How's their off the tee game? If you look at Hideki week in, week out, it's one of the more frustrating things you could ever do. Coming off of the St. Jude, a golf tournament that, you know, he came a lip out away from winning, but he still lost a stroke putting. In that golf tournament, the Wyndham he loses to, Northern Trust and the BMW showed nothing, lost 3.6 strokes gained. I also think a lot of guys last week, if they didn't get it low early, it looked like a lot of those guys lost interest because Cantlie and Bryson just went completely nuts in a way where it was hard to really, if you knew you were going to be locked into around this 5-4 under number for your starting score.
Yeah,
it was so hard to go out there on Saturday, Sunday and be like, I'm going to shoot 60 or 61 to get eighth. Back like, it's a tough way to be going about your business. So I'm going to try not to have a crazy amount of recency bias. But even still, the Northern Trust was not good. At least he made the cut there. Didn't completely kill some of my lineups that I had with him. But the WGC St. Jude feels like a long ways away, you know, and it was like all of 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. I'm probably with you where I can't imagine that I'm going to get to as much as what the field is going to on him. Probably choose to go elsewhere with him. I think you're about right on analyzing him. I think Scottie Scheffler, I would much rather just find the 400 to him, somebody with a more all-around golf game. Harder to imagine over four rounds on this golf course that he would torch me.
I think Louis Oosthuizen is probably going to be your lowest owned here, given that he's been very adamant about his neck injury. So at what point, say a 10% or less ownership, do you say, okay, it's 1 week. We saw 62 out of him last week. We got the low round we needed. Maybe it is time to look at Louis, even though he's got the withdrawal risk.
I want to just say Louis Oosthuizen, I'm so sorry. First golf tournament since August 23rd at the Northern Trust last year that he lost strokes game putting. Since the PGA. Number one. August 9th, 2020. The BMW, he lost 2.6 strokes game putting. Again, so one of the interesting things about golf, and this is just another thing, you play, I play. I remember I got hit by a car before I played in the U.S. Mid-Am like 7 years ago, and it was not my full swing that hurt. It was short shots. It was little chips. It was putts. It was just simply being there on the putting green. I didn't want to do any of that stuff because my neck was just tweaked out, and I was like, well, I want to play in this because the winner goes to the Masters and there's no way you would need to like have an infantry come in to take me off the golf course to try to play in the Masters. But those short shots are the issues. So like Louis, sweet swinging Louis, like he still was decent enough off the for strokes gained approach, you know, phenomenal iron player. You know, you can kind of just turn and have that be a little bit more fluid. But I'm worried because for us, for our purposes, the man is the best putter on planet Earth. and it just disappeared last week. I think that has a lot to do with the injury. I'm probably not going to be there this week.
Yeah, I think it's a great point. We certainly know getting into your putting stance or getting into your chipping stance can be the time that these injuries hurt the most, and it showed last week. So if he comes out and I hear something over the next couple of days that, hey, you know, I slept on my own bed in Ocala and drove up here to Atlanta, great. Then that's awesome, and his neck will be all solved. If it's not, I think it becomes just an ownership game, really. Jason Kokrak, guy that can score, a guy that has some pretty decent stats, went through an incredible putting streak, won a couple of times because of that. 6,600 does have me intrigued. It's actually a really strong mid-six range. We've talked about Matsuyama. We've talked about Scheffler. Now we add in Kokrak, three guys that can certainly score. Corey Connors is there as well. Of the four, who would you lean most? Still Scheffler, even over Kokrak?
Yeah, it's going to be Scheffler for me again. I just think he's a higher quality of player, number of ways that he can get it done. I worry about the around the green game for Chase and Kokrak. And this is one of the golf courses where, again, you just need to make some pars. And we haven't had a golf tournament where somebody's just need to make pars and find a way to put a score on the card in a long time. So this might be a little jarring for some people, but the guy has some major issues chipping the ball right now. Since the Valspar, actually since the Players this season, 11, so 9 of 11 golf tournaments where he's lost strokes gained around the green here. He can hide that with a hot putter. He's definitely spiked some weeks. The Charles Schwab, that duel with Spieth, your boy, 5.5 strokes gained putting there at the PGA, 4.2, didn't finish very well because, again, around the green game and off the tee issues. But you got to play some of these guys. You've got to find which ones you really like. I'm probably just going to be very heavy on Scotty in this range as I'm talking about it a little bit. I think I can talk myself into maybe being a little bit heavier on Brooks just because getting 7,800 Brooks, I mean, this is obviously salary based on what their starting position is and what that should be. But Brooks can definitely outperform as well for 200 more over Louis and those guys in this range. I'm happy to go more to their direction and be lighter on the Sungjae, lighter on the Hideki, and move on with my day.
How about Victor Hovland? He sits in that range. I've got him projected coming around 17th, you know, decent week, value of 9.3, so maybe a little low. 8,000 is the price. Not bad, given his starting position. I haven't heard you mention his name, so I'm going to guess you would rather play. I think you said Koepka's at 7,800, and I'm there with you.
I'm probably going to be playing Koepka. And this is so weird because I probably would never play Koepka. It's just such an interesting thing looking at the other players that surround him. Obviously, we haven't been playing him when he's 10K in some of these other tournaments. But in this spot, I think he just makes the most sense in that range as I'm looking at it. And of course, I have no idea what the ownership's going to be. He's somebody that I got to imagine sticks out like a sore thumb in this range here. You've got him, Hovland right above him. Hovland has so many issues chipping and putting. I mean, the guy, the best putter in his bag this entire season was a 60-degree wedge. So I don't really know how to quantify that. Snapped it on his knee, moved on. I got to think that he'll be a little bit better in that department.
His was he swung it on his golf bag,
yeah,
felt it break in his hand, and it's like, oh, can't use that anymore.
Yeah, so 60-degree. I can't imagine Victor Hovland losing his temper, so I wish I would have seen that one, actually. But Victor Hovland, just not very good around the greens either. Four straight, lost nearly two strokes around the green here. He's the kind of guy, though, who could hit enough greens, just be so good off the tee, maybe find a way to shoot, you know, 68, 69 here every round if he's just kind of doing that and can kind of make up for some of his other woes around the greens and such. He'll make some bogeys, but also a good enough ball striker, one of the best in the world that can possibly get it done. Just strokes gain off the tee and approach that maybe that's somebody that I should factor in a little bit more than I have in the last couple of weeks. I just don't know how he possibly could have gone low with as bad as his around the green and putter has been in recent weeks. So I haven't been there. He'll be somebody I look into a lot more as the week goes on.
If he comes in low ownership and hits 80% of his greens, he's going to be a must own this week at that point.
But that's a fact. Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. That's the thing about him and Morikawa, where it's like, how do you possibly not play a little bit of them if you can play them alongside all the guys up top and they can just burn you after two rounds? Like you could just be drawing dead if they are hitting 80% of greens because nobody's better on planet Earth than them.
Very true. Department. So the reason why you and I get to debate today is because our buddy Ben has been moved over to the Betting U. And let me tell you a little bit about that. College football has kicked off. And if you guys know Ben, that is definitely his forte, as it is Matt Gajowski. I'm going to have to ask him for
Gajowski.
Did I do okay there? I know Gajewski. I've done it a couple of times. And
It sounds like Jeff in the middle, Gajewski or something like that. That's okay. The way that it sounds like when he says it. So we'll go with that.
We'll go with that for now. And they're going to take you through each conference and the best bets on the board. Betting U is available now wherever you can get your podcasts, with new episodes dropping every Wednesday. So really cool podcast there. Check it out on all your podcast providers. All right, now we get into the top 15. I've got three guys on my list next in this 11 to 15 range. I know that's five spots, but got a couple of ties in there. Talked about Koepka. We haven't talked about Morikawa yet, and this is where I've got Bryson. We talked at the top. This is just not the golf course, in our opinion, for Bryson. And he hasn't done well here, so it kind of goes to show that. Plus, we know he's in his own head. I mean, I don't know if you heard the story, Eric, about how he flipped out at a fan. Clearly, he's in his own head. Maybe Patty Ice broke Bryson. Do you see him finishing better than 15th this week? I have him like 13th, somewhere around there.
I would love that, because I'm definitely not going to play him. I know he's going to be high-owned. I know that people are after last week. We have a DFS contingent, too, that loves to click the name Bryson DeChambeau. There's no question, but he's a very highly...
It was easy, to be honest. Yeah. 9,400, we knew he was going to make 90 eagles or whatever he did.
Yeah, and he made a 90 more than I thought he would, so that was painful, and I don't like golf. But either way, Bryson DeChambeau, just fine, as far as like for some of these other dog tracks that we've had earlier in the playoffs. You're playing a real golf course where he could get in real trouble, but his off-the-tee game is outrageous. Like... It's not just that he hits it far. I mean, the guy's been really, really accurate here of late too. So that's where it gets tough for me, is that like, this is another golf course where he's just going to get wedge after wedge after wedge if he's hitting his driver well. And I'm going to take the highly variant route and just say that it's not there this week. Again, another dude that you and I agree on. I'm much lower on Bryson, I know, than what the field's going to be. Loved pulling this sheet up earlier today and seeing that you were lower on him.
Yeah. Next guy, I think, is the best value on the board. It is Koepka. If you get the good Koepka this week, he is absolutely going to need to be in your lineups at 7,800. Now, I think the bigger question mark here is at 8,300, Colin Morikawa. How healthy is he? 8,300. You and I would roster him probably 100% of the time at $8,300. But he's not really starting that close to the top of the board, and his irons have looked poor since the Olympics when he said he got injured. So where's the opportunity cost to buy back in? Is it now?
I mean, the irons just haven't been the world-class, I'm the best that there has ever been, Colin Morikawa. Yeah. He's been pretty flat still. The major issue that we saw, you know, at the Northern Trust, the BMW, the putter has gone cold. It is so bad. And when you switch to a claw, when you're as good as he is tee to green generally, or just specifically into the green, should I say?
Yep, into the green, yeah.
You just need some competence with the flat stick. You need some Sergio Garcia competence that he can basically show up at times throughout his career. And I think that that's going to be the guy that Colin Morikawa is going forward. He's never, you know, even pre-claw, been that good of a putter. It's right. Just that he is so incredible.
Yeah. So when his putter pops, he wins because he's so good with his irons. Yeah.
And that's what we're going to see, I think, throughout his career. And, you know, he's not going to be the Louis where, you know, if you get those off the tee weeks where you're just bombing it, it becomes like you're on cruise control. We're never going to see that with a lot of guys. But for Colin Morikawa, if it's positive whatsoever with the putter, you always got to consider him. Again, I don't know what the health is. I got to think a lot of these dudes have played a lot of golf, and there's so many COVID restrictions and so many things that they have to do on a day-to-day basis that probably put a little bit more strain than a general PGA Tour season as well. Not that they're probably used to it at this point, because I think they've got to be, but some of these guys who have traveled a lot, you go to Europe and then you're all of a sudden in Japan, you know, you're flying back here, you're playing every single week after the Open, the WGC, Northern Trust, BMW. I got to think that he'll be somebody I'm a little bit lower on as well. I do agree with you, though. Brooks Koepka is going to be very, very chalky, but I just don't understand how you don't end up playing a bunch of him when you see the other names in his range. he's somebody that is just a higher class player than everybody else below him by quite a ways.
Yeah, it for sure is. So now before we get into our top 10, Eric, let's talk a little bit about our fantasy football kit. I had my first draft a couple of days ago and I was using it. Of course, nice. It is available for our season long in best ball leagues. Now, I know you've been doing a couple of best ball leagues on Underdog. That's pretty cool stuff. So how would you use this draft, Wingman? And what can you tell us about the promo code? I think I told everybody earlier, WR wide receiver. Mm-hmm. It is $10 off. So tell us a little bit about the draft, Wingman.
Yeah, so $5 off. So it's $15. You get $5 off with promo code WR. But the draft Wingman, the best part about it is whether you're mocking to prepare for your draft or whether you're doing your draft in real time, you can use it and have it tangibly there to help you as you're going along. You can upload rankings into different sites like Underdog. You can have Osmo's rankings for Underdog specifically on your screen right away there. Oh, yeah. As you're drafting, you can simply click the names, go back and forth. It is super easy to do. And if you want to watch a tutorial on how to do it, Josh Engelman has covered ESPN, Yahoo, and Underdog Fantasy so far this week. Those are all on the Osmo Fantasy Football channel. We're so excited to have football coming up here. It's an absolute blast. My favorite time of the year for DFS. Just some of these contests don't even make sense. And so you play MLB the entire year throughout the entire season. And NFL has 15 contests like it on week one. It's pretty outrageous. Every single buy-in type. So start getting prepared though for your season long and your best balls through the draft Wingman. And then NFL DFS, obviously we've got you covered too.
Yeah, I love it as well. Love-hate relationship, I guess you can call it. Brandon Cooks, I don't know if you've heard that story.
I've never heard that story, but I know Brandon Cooks probably is the most frustrating person ever in Rams history for that one season.
And this exact game, Rams against the Saints, you probably remember it a couple of years ago, the absolute shootout in the regular season. I came in second in the Millie. Cooks needed to catch two balls for first. It was the worst thing that ever happened to me, ever for sure. Anyways, now moving on.
COVID was never,
ever draft Brandon Cooks ever anywhere anymore. All right, let's go into our top 10. First guy I want to talk to you about is a guy that sounds like you're fading this week. Maybe I'm a little higher on. I hate that his price is so low because he is going to be probably the most second, third, or fourth most popular player on the slate. Sungjae Im. He's coming 11th and 15th here in two tries. Pretty good. And he's coming in his best form. So give me a case to fade him and why he doesn't come in the top 10 this week.
All right. So let's just, you know, can I just make ownership the basis of everything that I say?
We have to at this point, though. It's going to probably be 35 or 40%.
He's going to be really, really high owned. And it's not his fault that he's priced where he is. It's priced purely based off of what their starting score is. It has nothing to do with the quality of player. It has nothing to do with everything you know about salary being 6K, 7K, 8K. Nothing matters. Throw it out the window this week. It's a completely different week. It's a one-week sample that we have on this. My thing that I'm going to just point to is that Sungjae Im has not been putting well. Like, you want to talk about his form all you want, but he has not been putting well until last week where every bad putter on planet Earth decided to make everything, except for Patrick Cantlay, who does make everything anyway. 6.2 strokes gained putting last week at the BMW. He had lost strokes 0.8 at the Northern Trust, 2.4 at the Wyndham, and 4.6 strokes gains lost at the WGC St. Jude. Something tells me that putter just spiked, and he has these decent spike weeks with the putter. But then once in a while, I mean, his tee to green game has been so, so much better for sure. That's what you're pointing to with the form, but the putter's still got to get there. And at his current ownership, I'll take my shots on him just not being outrageously consistent with that center shafted putter.
Yeah. I mean, listen, if he puts up more than 85 points, he's probably going to be a must own given how this tournament shakes
out. That's the tough part about him at his salary is like, it's not a fade. And there's so many guys that it's hard to say in a 29 person tournament, I'm going to flat out fade and have 0% of or something. But Sungjae Im, I'm just, you know, the ownership is going to be there. You know, people coming off of last week, him, Sergio, Eric Van Rooyen, those guys are going to garner the attention. Trying to find ways to get off of them and find the pivots, hopefully the pivots that will go off. That's going to be the key for the week.
Yeah, and Turf Talk in our chat brings up a good point that I have Sungjae Im and Sam Burns pretty closely aligned, having both Burns finishing at ending score around 14 under. Burns is starting at 4, Im is starting at 3. But Sam Burns is playing some of the best golf anybody in the world is right now. And if this guy comes out and has a huge finish, I'm going to even go out and say, Eric, that Steve Stricker should possibly look at him as a Ryder Cup guy. He hits the ball a long way. He putts really well. And when he finds the fairway, he's very good with his iron. So a guy that I've been watching for a couple of years finally broke through. So 8,500. Do you think he gets in the top 10 this week and continues that form? I know as a guy that you like.
I'm all in on Sam Burns this week. We're back on Bermuda, baby. We are back on the old Bermuda grass. Give me all. Can I play 101% Sam Burns this week? Because at this price, he's going to be something that I'm going to unlock. I'm not sure. I'll see how I'm feeling later in the week. Right now, I'm tired. I'm, you know, just clicking buttons and playing DFS golf here the entire season. I'm ready for a little bit of a break, but I know come like Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to be like, you know what? It's the last tournament in a while. I'm going to just jam. Here we go.
You're going to see 10% owned too, because Xander Schauffele, who's probably the other best value, is at 8,900, the next guy on the board. So I would suspect Sam Burns is going to be very low owned and Xander Schauffele probably the highest owned guy on the slate.
That's crazy to me because Sam Burns has played better than Xander Schauffele for 3 weeks in a row. Obviously, he came a lip out away from winning me a truck of money. That would have been an enjoyable experience. Why I didn't hedge enough with Abraham Answer, I will never know as long as I live. But I didn't hedge this week with Bryson either. So I guess it all works out pretty well.
No hedge life.
Yeah, no hedge life. It's just the worst. You know, you're getting the short end of the stick, and I hate that feeling. Northern Trust, 21st, BMW 8th here. And now we get on Bermuda, and I've talked about it a lot with Sam Burns. My main thing coming to the WGC, basically why I just wrote off his open is that some players, and especially young players, don't necessarily have the handle, writing Colin Morikawa off of it, of course, but don't have a handle for how to play links golf right off the bat. It took Phil Mickelson 2 decades to figure out what to do over there. But the Valspar, the Byron Nelson, Bermuda grass, the dude spikes these putting weeks, 9.1 strokes game putting. That's an outrageously stupid number. And that's the kind of stuff he does on Bermuda grass. It's 6.3 strokes game putting at the St. Jude. Northern Trust and BMW still positive in that regard. We know he's going to be positive off the tee. The approach game can spike weeks too. I absolutely love Sam Burns. I will have more Sam Burns, I can guarantee you without a doubt, than Colin Morikawa, Harris English, and Xander Schauffele in that range.
Now we move up a little bit. I'm kind of in line with you. I think Xander Schauffele, the runner-up, plus you could consider one of those a win, obviously. I think the course history does go well. We know that his strength is the short game, and then when you put the ball striking in form, it's not right now. So I do like Schauffele still a bit. Going up a bit, I think that this is where you're going to find somebody like Rory McIlroy. Those 2 strokes starting at -2, or say those 8 strokes to Patrick Cantlay, is really going to catch up to him. I've got him coming in 7th, but as one of the best and top scorers of the week. I think he's in form, plus he's won here a couple of times. I think he's an easy play at 9,300, even though he's going to finish, I think, like I said, 7th or 6th in the tournament.
Is there somebody in this golf tournament that has better course history than him?
No, Dustin Johnson is 5 for 6 in terms of top 10s, but only has 1 win. So yeah. Rory and Dustin are pretty close.
Yeah, we're going to play a lot of Rory.
That's the bottom line.
You should be playing a lot of Rory McIlroy this week. 9,300. He had talked about being tired. I didn't care last week. I just played a ton of him. What was that?
It worked out for you. He played great.
Yeah, it worked out for me. But again, no Sergio, no Sung J.M. You needed those two to do anything in tournaments, which is a weird thing to say out loud. But that's the year that 2021 has been in the DFS golf world. Strokes gain putting again, back to back, 4.6, 3.4. Like to see that out of him. Rory, we know that it's Rory McIlroy at East Lake. We've seen him hole out shots on 17 to win FedEx Cups. We've seen him do some outrageous things here on this track. I love that they switched the nines here too. Did you notice that for Showdown? Did that have any, like, I think the nines being switched has been a good thing. They don't finish on the par 3 anymore.
Yeah, they finish on the par 5, par 4 scoreable. Yep. I think you can make up a lot of I like it so much better.
Me too. So I just think it's more enjoyable than finishing up with a par 3 where, you know, it, not only that, it's like a 225-yard par 3. So I enjoy the finish of that. Thought I'd just throw in that aside as a golf fan. But Rory McIlroy, what do you need me to tell you? It's Rory McIlroy under 9K compared to the rest of the range. I mean, he's 9,300, excuse me. It's just like such an easy thing that stands out. He's going to be crazy high owned, and you don't want to play him with, you know, the likes of super popular Eric Van Rooyen or I'm assuming Sergio Garcia, Sung Jae for sure. But you're going to want to be playing Rory.
So you're going to want to be playing Abraham Answer, who I do have those two strokes. Listen, he's playing great. So I do have him finishing above Rory in the tournament, but he's $300 more and I don't have him outscoring Rory. So I think it's an easy, just go down, play McIlroy. If Answer beats McIlroy this week, so be it. But that's the stance I'm going to take. Now, the only question will be is everyone going to take that stance where now Answer is 10% owned? And now you're looking at an Answer Burns combo of total of 20%. That could be a winning formula right there.
I like it a lot. Abraham Answer, I've always played a ton. This might be one week where I'm just kind of not there a lot. And
price, I think, has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, given price is
Xander Brooks below him.
Yeah, he's just not a guy that I'm really understanding what I want to do. He didn't play that well here last year. Believe he finished 18th and it was September. What was it? 7th. Yeah. There we go. Cool. So he's just, that's his one opportunity. He played in 2019 here. He played atrocious that week. I know that, lost strokes game putting around the green approach. And that's pretty rare for him here. It's just not a guy that I love playing him so much. This might be the one week. It depends where the ownership comes in. Because if he's 10%, if you're right about 10%, I'm sure I'll absolutely be there big time. But otherwise, I just think there's enough other places that I'd probably prefer going than 9,600. I would rather find my ways to get up to some of the top guys more so. And if he's a hindrance to that whatsoever, I'm going to prioritize getting to the top guys still.
Now, we're into those top guys. It's a great segue. Jordan Spieth and Dustin Johnson are priced at the low end of them, starting at 4 and 3 under. I've got them as pretty good values, but I think Justin Thomas maybe sets up a little bit better than both. Again, I think that I have all of them pretty equal. DJ has shown good top end form, but no consistency lately. Spieth finally showed some cracks in the OTT game last week. But we know here that won't affect them that much. Last week, you had to be in the fairways to score. So what do you do with these three guys? Do you just take the ownership and price? Do you have them all rated pretty equal?
They're pretty close. Justin Thomas, I think, is a little bit of a step above them on this golf course, coming off a third, coming off a second here the last two seasons. Somebody that I think every golf course that's like a full, well-rounded golf course, I like to play Justin. I like to play Justin Thomas all the time. I'm just not
pretty
even
much anywhere. You can feel semi-comfortable unless there's going to be a ton of wind.
That's probably true. The win equity with him for even at this price, even just with the staggered, the way that the pricing breaks down, the way that the starting score breaks down, excuse me, that's what I was trying to say. I think he's still just somebody at 4 under. Who could be the guy to shoot 66, 66 Thursday, Friday, put himself in a spot to actually win the golf tournament. And so I love that you put him up there 12 under, you know, breaking that down as his projected ending score or his score 16 under for the ending score. I think he makes a lot of sense and somebody that just DK scoring could go out and just torch it. So I think Justin Thomas is probably my priority out of everybody.
And I think the more important thing to talk about is Patrick Cantlay starting at 10 under probably helps the field because he has not played well here. A bunch of middling finishes, I think 17th, 18th, something in that range. You know, I'm projecting shooting 10 under as his score, getting to 20 under. I think Tony Finau's got a chance to catch him. Obviously, John Rahm does as well. Where are you going with those two guys who obviously are starting as close to Cantlay as you can get? Who do you think has a chance who has a better chance to catch him? Probably going to say Rahm, but do you think the price difference to Finau brings him into play?
Yeah, I think it does. And we're looking at this entire top end. We're both a little bit lighter here on Bryson. So that makes it pretty easy to say we can go anywhere else with confidence and not be getting to a ton of ownership and can kind of pick and choose who we want to go to. Tony Finau has been very surprising to me and not surprising in like Tony Finau winning a golf tournament. Oh my God, I can't believe it. It's just the way that he's gone about it here. The putter's been really, really hot. He gained more strokes putting last week, finishing 15th, than what he even did at the Northern Trust. And I felt like he made everything at the Northern Trust. So that's a pretty astounding number to see 6 strokes gained putting at the BMW even last week. I think if that continues, he's going to flip the tee to green game. That was one of his worst performances he's had here in a little bit here, specifically off the tee, where he's almost always positive, almost always a weapon there as well. Around the green game is floundered, but it's traditionally been very, very strong compared to PGA Tour average for a guy who hits it like he does. I think you got to be interested in going more his direction. Cantley's surprising to me that he doesn't play well, because Patrick Cantley is about as well-rounded, methodical as you can possibly get on a golf course. Bermuda's very, very close to playing on Kikuyu grass, which is what we have out here in Los Angeles. Riviera, we saw him win, over in Thousand Oaks here last season. But I got to think that Patrick Cantley's fine, but I very highly doubt, knowing that the ownership's definitely going to be here on this top end of players, I'm going to take my shots going lower. And if you have a lineup that it looks really chalky, it's going to be so easy to just take Cantley out of it and leave $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 of salary by clicking somebody else.
Totally agree. Last thing on Cantley, my expert picks article that dives into statistics and strokes gained. He's number one on both the strokes gained and old school statistics. As you said, just very well-rounded in everything. Maybe not superb in everything, but well-rounded. That's exactly what we're looking for here at Eastlake. That's what we know it takes to win. So a couple more notes before we get on out of here at 455. First things first is this will be, I would say, the first year that we have the strongest field in this format. Last year, because of COVID, we had, I would say, like 6 or 7 golfers we would probably maybe never make it back again. No offense to them, but a really strong field here this week. So I think we see scoring a little bit better, which obviously, you know, throws things for a loop. Obviously, based off of my projections, Rory McIlroy and Xander Schauffele would be the two best values on the board. Brooks Koepka being number three. Outside of those three guys, if we go them, I think it's pretty clear they're going to be the three best values for everybody. How would you recommend differentiating your lineup starting with those three?
Give me the three one more time here.
Yeah. McIlroy, Schauffele, and Sung Jae Im.
It's definitely in that order.
Koepka.
Koepka. Oh shit. Okay. Oh. That's a little different. Probably going Rory, Koepka. I think I'm going to prioritize those two, throwing him out the window. Yep. I will not be there on Sung Jae Im this week whatsoever. Again, just a fluky spiked putting week. And, you know, you talk about it, he's been better off the tee for sure, but the putter has not been there whatsoever. You get him on Bermuda grass here as opposed to coming off of bent grass. A lot of things that are going to change between last week and this week. Sung Jae, he was fine there last year, but not a guy that I'm going to be super enthusiastic to click on this year.
So if you go those two, who's going to be your cheap option that you expect not everyone's going to go to? If you're playing a one-off lineup and you're like, listen, I don't want to split first place, I'm going to click this guy to make it unique.
All right. So, I mean, then you can't play EVR because he'll be popular. You can't play Sergio. I'm willing to take some shots on Joaquin Niemann, somebody that can go out and at least, you know, put up some numbers. He shot 74 on Friday. I don't know how you shoot 74 last week, but he did that. Yeah. So congratulations to Joaquin Niemann on that.
I think you and I, you definitely could shoot better than that. I think even I could shoot that last week.
I know that I could have shot better than 74 on that golf course. No offense. I hate to be that guy who's like PGA Tour golfers or whatever, you know, and I'm like, look, I understand, but it's 4 par 5s and just a joke. So there's that. 74 is pretty brutal. And I think you would admit to that. One bad round of golf does not a golfer make. So I'm going to go towards the sample size here. Played even all right at the Northern Trust, didn't go completely low. This is not going a completely low kind of week here. And I think Joaquin Niemann, some people like to play him in some of these scoring fests, and I get it. But like for me, more so, it's like he's just a little bit more familiar here with the golf course. I really like maybe pivoting to him coming off of some of those really high owned dudes. And then my guy, I'll just always throw him in, because if the round the green is going to matter, put some Kevin Na in your life at 6K. He might be a guy that I'm over top of the field on as well. Really good recent form. He's one guy who's put up two really good showings the last 2 weeks, tied 8th, tied 17th. So I think on this golf course where that's prioritized a little bit more, he'll be able to have his skill set matter a little bit more. Give me some Kevin Na at 6K.
Awesome. Well, we did it. 30 golfers. We talked about him for an hour. We broke down my entire leaderboard. If Eric has any changes to his, we'll check it out on the Wednesday show. Ben Raza live before lock. You guys are going to do it. Coming up next, it is the MLB deeper dive, going game by game. And then you're going to be back on the MLB live before lock at 6 o'clock. So until next week, everybody, we go right to the Safeway Open. We don't get a week off here. Maybe Eric does. We'll see you next week. Cheers, everybody.